Undercover Carson, secret agent. Operation Death Ray, an assignment in Rio.
It was Friday night, and on the Sunday, the carnival began. That was to be the signal for scientist number 6, known to us only as the Cossack, to come into Rio, and the time when the sinister Chaco would attempt to gather the last of the information on the death ray. We had discovered that the Cossack was a dancer of some sort, and it was Sir Giles Davenport's servant, Angelo, who suggested that this elusive chappie might be wearing a Cossack costume during the riot of the carnival. That seemed to make sense, but what didn't make sense was Angelo's belief that he was dying. Meanwhile, we had French-Italian dancer Faye Carilli on our hands at the Copacabana apartment. We were determined that she should tell us the whereabouts of Chaco. But she tricked us by taking several draws on a drugged cigarette. And now she was out to it, looking more beautiful than ever.
Indeed, Carson, looking at her now, I realize only too well why you felt about her as you do.
But what drives a creature like this to the shadowy world of espionage?
The excitement, perhaps?
Being the dancer she is, Sir Giles, life should be exciting enough, surely.
Ah, well, we'll find out the real motive, let's hope.
But Faye is in a fix.
You've certainly made a job of binding her feet and ankles with those strips of sheeting, Carson.
Oh, hated doing it, huh?
But what a remarkable bracelet she's wearing. Baroque, isn't that a word?
So, Faye always has flair for the baroque, the bizarre, the exotic. But that's not the fix I meant.
No?
I was thinking of Chaco.
Chaco? A mere mention sends my blood pressure soaring.
Now, this is the point, Sir Giles. Though Faye's nominally working with the freelancers, Chaco threatens to cut short life's sweetness unless she throws in her lot with him.
Oh, yes, yes. The blighter's so deuced all-knowing. He seems to have all the opposition agents tied up. Mademoiselle Carelli, then your former school chum, Roger Deauville. That's if we are to believe that sister of his.
Well, sir, in the past we've both been too much inclined to put faith in people.
We have indeed. And after the truth about Julius Grant came out, well, I sometimes wonder that I trust myself.
Yeah, but I'm sure Helena Jansen's straight, sir. She gave us a very satisfactory explanation of her bewildering actions of the past.
I dare say her sister is desperate to protect her wayward brother.
Especially a brother with friend Deauville's charm.
Charm, Carson? Think of the crowd he's working for.
Yes, I realize that, sir, but he's a smasher when he likes. Look what he did to Hetty Fitzhenry. The girl was crazy about him.
Yes, yes, but we haven't heard anything from Miss Jensen.
Well, no doubt she's been unable to trace her brother yet.
Then Mademoiselle Carelli remains our only hope of getting anything on the whereabouts of Chaco.
And she'll be out to it for a while yet.
Carson, the situation's much more desperate than we're admitting. This time tomorrow will be the eve of the carnival.
I'm not forgetting that, sir.
And then there's Angelo. He was only a blow on the head, yet he lies there practically inviting death. Oh, let's slip inside and take a look at him. Come along, old chap. Let's not be too dismal about things.
Excellency, I am doomed never to see another carnival.
Angelo, you've had a nasty blow on the head, but you'll recover.
Not on this occasion, Excellency.
Yet think of the past, the blows, the bullets, the broken bones.
It was then the will of the spirits that I should survive.
But how can you say they won't stand by you now?
Because, Excellency, in exchange for my life, they have furnished me with information valuable to yourself.
About this Cossack fellow being decked out in a Cossack fancy dress costume and joining the festivities?
It is so, Excellency. And it grieves me deeply to depart from your side, but you will have another to assist you.
But there could only be one Angelo ever.
There is another, Excellency, and he will take my place.
Another Angelo?
See? My nephew, you must proceed to the Castano district and there inquire for him. Ask for Angelo, the nephew of Angelo. Tell him to proceed here to me at once. There is so little time.
Well, do you really think this is necessary?
If you are to have anyone to assist you, it is most necessary, Excellency. I implore of you, bring to me my nephew, Angelo.
If it'll make you any happier, very well.
Now look, sir, leave it to me. I'll borrow the rolls and be there and back inside the half hour. You keep an eye on both Angelo and Fay. It was growing late as I drove out of the big garage under the apartment building. The festive air hadn't penetrated yet to the dark backwaters of the Castano district. I was regarded by hot, shaded eyes when I pulled up near a dimly lit corner. But they knew who I was. It was 5 minutes before a slight and eager version of our Angelo came up to the car. I kept the engine running, just in case.
You inquire for me, senor?
You are Angelo, nephew of Angelo, who is employed by Sir Giles Davenport?
I am indeed the nephew of such a noble uncle.
He's ill, my friend. He wishes to speak to you as soon as possible.
He is dying.
Oh, no, no.
But indeed he is dying.
How do you know this?
Because, senor, since I am very small, my uncle tells me he will send for me only when the spirits of death are at his side.
These spirits.
Is it not true, senor? He is dying.
He says so.
Then I must go to him at once.
Right. Around the other side and hop in. We'll plow our way back through the carnival crowds.
They're in there together, Carson. But our Angelo's still out to it.
I can't understand why he's throwing in the towel like this.
Nor I. Though I've been wondering, that blow on the head, perhaps it was much more serious than we believed.
Well, Roger Dover was to blame. And from way back, he was never the gentle type. Yet this doctor friend of yours...
Always so very discreet and reliable, Carson. Said it was concussion and nothing more. But the young chap...
Angelo the second? Seems to have a good working knowledge of our Angelo's underground.
And how to contact these ever shadowy relatives and acquaintances, eh?
So.
To think that all this should happen just when we are likely to need all the help we can muster more desperately than ever. Hold steady, sir. What is it, Carson? Angelo coming too?
No. Faye.
Ah. Well, old fellow, if she's back with us, we get to work. She must tell us what she knows about contacting Chaco. Come on.
My hands, my feet, tied together. I'll never forgive you for this, Monsieur Bruce, both of you. Well,
same thing happened to me earlier in the day, madame, at your apartment, remember?
I do that to you only to protect yourself.
From Chaco?
Oui.
Mademoiselle Corelli, I think we understand one another very well.
I'm not understand anyone who is so ungallant. Take off these bindings. They hurt.
Once again, young lady, let's have no crocodile tears. You were brought here for a particular purpose, and we are desperate men. Now, you will recall that we were inquiring into the whereabouts of Charco.
I know nothing.
Now, Faye, my dear, you said that he got in touch with you. How?
I forget.
Then we must take steps to make you remember.
No.
Ungallant, as that may be.
You not lay hands upon me.
We'll give you a few moments to think things over. Carson... come along with me a moment, outside on the balcony.
Right, Sir Giles. But, Faye, help us, and we'll do what we can to help you out of your mess. Or whatever it is.
Carson!
Coming, sir.
You waste your time. I know nothing at all.
The night's getting on, but the carnival crowds still swarm over the pavements. Traffic still crowds the boulevards.
Reminding us once again how very little time we have.
Indeed, and we must strike now. For the moment, we'll forget about finding out what has driven Mademoiselle Corelli to this espionage business. We must know what she knows about contacting Chaco.
It'll be somewhat distressing, sir, to use persuasion of any kind on likes of Faye.
And it's going to be distressing for millions if this deuced death ray falls into the wrong hands.
Yes, sir.
That's why I called you out here, to discuss what methods we might best adopt.
I expect we must face up to it.
We must, Carson. Grim and distasteful though it may... Hold on a moment. Yes, I think Angelo is talking to his nephew. Carson, perhaps we'd better listen in on this.
My nephew? For 15 years now, I have been in the service of His Excellency. I have come to think in his tongue, to speak in it. You understand?
Comprendo muito bem.
Ah, si. You understand very well. Vale inglês, conmigo.
Indeed, uncle, I speak English to you.
Accustom yourself to his ways. You will find him a good and generous master.
Uncle, you speak often of him to us.
I see, And you are aware, my nephew, that now he is engaged in a difficult and dangerous search?
I am aware.
Serve him well. And when the carnival bursts upon the city, then he will be in the greatest need of your service. Sooner I will be gone, but there are many things I must tell you.
I don't know that I can stand very much more of this, cousin.
Well, let's back to the lounge, sir. Give you something to steady your nerves.
Yes, I rather feel I need it. After 15 years, you think it should come to this? Dash it all. Walking into the doorpost.
Take it gently, sir. Through here now.
Thank you so much, Carson. I don't seem to be seeing very well.
Here we are now, sir. Great Lucifer!
Well, what is it now, old fellow?
Faye, gone.
Faye? Mademoiselle Corelli gone?
It was that bracelet. You see it there, sir? Parts of it lying around.
Yes. Look, it's a cutting device, Carson.
So, just like that special pipe of mine. Well, I don't know precisely how she worked it, but she's flown.
Gone. And another chance gone. Carson, this is tragic.
Yes, it certainly is, sir. Angelo dying, Faye gone, the carnival almost upon us. What chance have we now of finding Charco? So there it was. Just when we thought we had the ravishing Faye cornered, she escaped us. Time was growing short, and our hopes were shrinking in the grim game of Operation Death Ray. Undercover Carson is written by Michael Noonan and produced for Macquarie Broadcasting Service by E. Mason Wood.